a young perspective on hot-button issues around the world. This is The Hub.
Hello and welcome to The Hub. I'm Meng Guan in Beijing. Today we're diving deep into the dynamics of the China-Hungary relationship, with a focus on the recent diplomatic strides led by Szabó István, president of the General Assembly of the Pest County of Hungary. His recent delegation's journey across various provinces in China underscores the growing importance of provincial exchanges in strengthening bilateral connections. What were the key outcomes of this visit, and how will provincial-level cooperation enhance the overall bilateral relationship? In this special episode, I sat down with Mr. Szabó to delve into these issues. President Szabó, welcome to CGTN. We know that recently you led a large delegation to China, traveled across Chinese provinces. Which areas do you identify with the greatest potential of cooperation between the Pest County, the county that you're leading in Hungary, and with their Chinese provinces? What industry sectors, what specific agreements were reached?
Basically, we didn't sign any final agreement because these were the first face-to-face meetings with Chinese leaders. I didn't know them personally before, so it was an opportunity to establish personal ties with the Chinese leaders. So we started the preliminary work. The relationship is multi-layered. Economic relations are very important, but cultural, scientific, educational matters and security issues were also dealt with. Hungary's economy has a dynamic reindustrialization strategy. Substantial investments have started with the involvement of Chinese companies in Hungary, and they indicated that this could be carried on in Chongqing and in Sichuan as well. In the cultural area, we built very successful ties with the Wuhan Music Academy. We also started consultations for cooperation so that a cultural group could travel from Hungary to Wuhan. In the area of education, agricultural university training is very developed in Pest County, and cooperation has been broadened, perhaps more important in the tourism industry, which according to the current situation is very much in the foreground because the country is open to tourists from China and Hungarians can also travel visa-free to China. So tourism cooperation between the two countries can start.
I think I heard visa-free travel, but Hungary, as far as I understand, is part of the Schengen area. Do you foresee a future where Chinese citizens, Chinese passport holders can travel to Hungary without a visa?
This is indeed a very important question because, as you've said, Hungary is part of the Schengen zone, so this may open the door. Approval from Brussels is also necessary for this to be full scale, so these negotiations will have to take place. China granted visa-free travels for us after a long period of time, so we need to negotiate this, but the intention is there, and it would be very important to have this. The increase of the number of flights was an important topic. Currently, there are four flights between Hungary and China, Beijing, Ningbo, Shanghai, and Chongqing. This can be further increased, and we also discussed this in Chengdu with the governor. Before the pandemic, the Chengdu-Budapest flight started, but this could be repositioned or relaunched. We also talked about this with the governor.
President Szabó, China, as you have referred to, unilaterally exempted a visa for a dozen European countries and countries in Asia-Pacific, including Hungary. How has that come into effect? Has that led to an increase in the volume of tourists coming from Hungary to China?
I don't have the exact data about this. I need to look into the matter. The intention is there to raise it to a higher level in both directions.
Fair enough. President Szabó, as a leader of the Pest County, a very important region of Hungary, how do you look at this relationship between China and Hungary as we're celebrating the 75th anniversary of the relations of our two countries?
Hungary was amongst the first country to establish ties with China 75 years ago. We are thinking similarly today as well. China is a very important partner and an ally. Cooperation is strong between the two countries. Diplomats of the two countries are working a lot. It's crucial for us to have these personal ties. For us, the connectivity is the most important to keep our relationship active. But we think of long-term cooperation. I believe that both China and Hungary can be partners in this, and if the partners agree in these issues, this can only lead to something good.
To many of them, not necessarily familiar with the Pest County, nor have they been to Hungary in much likelihood. Can you tell them a bit about your region, the Pest County, and maybe perhaps Hungary as a whole?
Nagyon szívesen, hiszen számomra ez egy örömteli és fontos dolog, hogyha...
Yes, of course. This is for me very important, and I'm happy to talk about my homeland and about Pest County. Pest County is the area surrounding the capital of Hungary. It's a very diverse county with an area of 6,963 square kilometers, both in geographical and cultural terms. It's home to 11 of the 13 Hungarian ethnic groups. This means that it's very colorful and it can be seen in our culture, in our architecture, in our interpersonal relations. It shows that we are open in all directions. Pest County is a crucial area for the country's economy because both Budapest and Pest County account for almost 50% of the GDP of the country, and one-third of the population of Hungary live here in the capital, in Pest County. So we are a very strong community. And for us, it is, of course, the most beautiful and the best place on earth. So we'd be very happy to welcome tourists from China.
President Szabó, Hungary is known to many Chinese as a European country, is a very European country with an Eastern touch. Do you agree with that assessment? By coming to China, do you see cultural similarities between our two cultures, China and Hungary? Do you see any affinity between our two peoples?
Én azt gondolom, hogy egyszerűen elegendő, ha az ember elmegy Kínába.
I believe it's enough if one travels to China. It's almost as if you arrived home because of the amount of love and friendship we received each and every time I visited. I've actually been to China 5 times, so I have experienced this. It was also interesting that in 2011 in Chongqing, there was an architectural fair or expo where different buildings were built by different Chinese provinces as well as Chongqing. So we also built a garden, and the theme was the legend of the miracle or the wonder deer, which is a very integral part of our history. When we spoke about this to the experts in China, they said they were aware of this legend because they too have a similar legend. This shows that 10,000 kilometers is not so distant and that we have similar roots.
You said you've been to China multiple times. What part of the Chinese culture, what aspect of it, or what part of the Chinese food cuisine impressed you the most?
Hát engem elvarázsolt Kína.
Well, I was totally taken aback. I was astonished when I was in China. I really like history, and when you have the chance to look into the history of a country that has such a rich culture and such a rich past and history, it was also a tremendous feeling to go and visit Xi'an to see the Terracotta Army, or in Beijing, the Summer Palace, the Forbidden City, and the Great Wall. In Chongqing, we visited the Three Gorges Museum where this huge amount of work was presented, or in Hainan, we could see how they built the community. So for me, this was a fantastic experience. I don't need to mention Chinese cuisine because it's a wonder. It's a miracle in itself. Every day I had a huge experience at dinners and lunches that we had together. Everyone should visit China. I recommend it.
Thank you very much. We also look forward to seeing you. I think many Chinese tourists are looking forward to checking out your county sooner rather than later. President Szabó, thank you so much for joining us at this hour.
Szívesen látjuk őket, várjuk őket.
We will be waiting for them with open arms, and I hope we can also meet personally in the future. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Goodbye.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Have a great rest of the day.
During the interview, M. Szabó, the governor of Pest County, highlighted the significance of the visa-free policy as China is extending a welcoming hand to numerous nations. And in a previous interview, Mr. Hikmet Hajiyev, the assistant to the president of Azerbaijan on foreign affairs, told Wang Guang about Azerbaijan's pioneering initiative towards introducing a visa-free system for Chinese citizens. This groundbreaking development underscores the deep historical ties and the burgeoning people-to-people connections between the two nations. Let's delve into his insights.
Azerbaijan granted Chinese citizens a visa upon arrival, and there are direct flights opening from Beijing to Baku. Anything you want to say to the Chinese, why they should go to Baku, why they should go to Azerbaijan at their next tourist destination?
It's really, you're absolutely right that Chinese citizens can obtain their visas upon arrival to Baku, but there will be more even in a sense that Azerbaijan is looking forward to completely ensure a visa-free system to Chinese citizens.
You're working on it?
We are currently working on it. Hopefully, within a short period of time, such a good news will come.
Wow.
Because we are very much pleased to see Chinese citizens and Chinese tourists, Chinese businessmen, Chinese partners and investors in Azerbaijan. Again, there is a historical linkage between our countries and Chinese tourists, and it's also part of the people-to-people contact. We also see it as part of the global development initiative that China has put forward. It's also part of the BRI concept. BRI, first of all, it's also about the people-to-people contacts, and tourism is one of the key components of that. And there is a direct flight between Beijing and Baku, and we are looking forward even to open more travel destinations to different Chinese cities. And by the way, we are working also for the different regions of the China, because China's regions in itself are having a huge potential. And we think that for such a touristic cooperation, first, as a people-to-people contact, and it also adds to the awareness of our people, one another, and cultural humanitarian exchange. And it also, people-to-people contact is also about business opportunities.
During our interview with His Excellency President Aliyev, which we're so honored to be in Baku, he said this. He said bilateral relations are excellent, and he thinks this is only the beginning of a very long journey. What is your understanding of what he means by that?
My president's vision is to develop and to Azerbaijan's Chinese partnership and cooperation to qualitatively new level. That's a strategic partnership. And China was always a friend to Azerbaijan. Since the independence of Azerbaijan, we have seen support of China. And also Azerbaijan has achieved its own success story, where we see the active engagement, cooperation and partnership of our Chinese friends and Chinese companies where they're part of a success story.
There's a very impressive set of data. In the year past, the year 2023, bilateral trade between our two countries, China and Azerbaijan, reached $3.1 billion. That is nearly 44% year-on-year growth. What do you attribute that growth to? That is astronomical, 43% year-on-year.
We are glad that there's an economic and trade relations are moving forward between two countries. And also in the economic and trade relations and connectivity component is also crucially important. And we are glad to see that within a connectivity component within the grandiose idea of One Belt, One Road initiative is also developing well between our countries. And I think that with a full operationalization of the Middle Corridor, trade relationship between China and Azerbaijan will continue to grow further. And as I already explained, Azerbaijan is also switching to its national goal of the green transition and digital transformation. And here we see China as our important partner. And we have also really appreciate that China extensively contributes and investing in the non-oil sector of Azerbaijan and diversification of Azerbaijan's economy and construction material production and oil and petrochemical industry that we see China is Chinese companies are actively present. And let me just also give another positive example of the green transition model of Azerbaijan, how China is contributing, and Aqua Power Master, our good partners, and they're investing in Azerbaijan, but with investment of the green energy production of Azerbaijan is based on the Chinese production, and Chinese companies are building within solar and wind production facilities. It shows how effective, by the way, with technological advancements. By the way, I would like to congratulate China for the achievement of the green transition. And Chinese actions are speaking louder because there are so many talks, statements, declarations about the green transition, but China, with practical actions at the national level and also at the global level, achieves with green technology such as a good result, and also shares it with other countries, looking at the experience of my country, where two important projects as a result of the Chinese technologies in Nakhchivan region of Azerbaijan, green energy production 43% provided by the renewables, which is also based on the Chinese technology. One of the portfolio of my discussions here with my Chinese counterparts also to ensure the production of the renewable and green technologies in Azerbaijan, as we have, again, very ambitious and grandiose ideas, because Azerbaijan is also, along with the fossil fuels, is also blessed with the wind, solar, and other renewable energy potential.
Yeah, I've been to Baku, wind power.
You can see, we always said that we were a little bit cursing a little with Baku's wind, but we see that Baku's wind is a blessing for Azerbaijan. Yeah. It's a 200 gigawatt potential, and it means that more cooperation, production units and facilities in Azerbaijan will provide us with an additional opportunities, as we are also linking our potential with our Central Asian partners and trying to build Caspian Black Sea Green Transition Corridor. And we are also looking forward for cooperation with our Chinese friends to establish production line of electro-automobile industry in Azerbaijan. We are really in the streets of the Baku, you can see the Chinese electromobiles. In general, Chinese electromobile industry is well represented, and we would like to do more simply.
Mr. Hajiyev, you talk about TITR, this very important middle corridor that is cutting travel time and trade route, costing much less time and expenses for goods shipping from Europe to China and vice versa. But there are different countries, different customs, different capacities and different institutions in place. What are the current issues at hand and challenges at hand that you're trying to resolve, perhaps to really, like you said, to fully operationalize this TITR?
One of the challenges is that Middle Corridor runs through the territories of the many different countries, our Central Asian friends, and then Caspian Sea, Azerbaijan and Georgia, and it goes to the Turkey and Black Sea dimension as well. Here, indeed, we are working very hard and very closely with our Kazakhstani friends and brothers. I has also, again, very good privilege and honor to be a participant in the meeting where His Excellency Kazakhstan President President Tokayev and my President, His Excellency President Ilham Aliyev, both of them attended the ceremony of welcoming train delivering Chinese cargoes from China, Kazakhstan, Caspian Sea, Azerbaijan. They welcomed in the Baku railway and also seaport, and then it continued its journey towards Turkey. It was in a symbolic, but in the meantime, illustration of the fact that China, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, and Georgia were working together and to operationalize the Middle Corridor. And we are also learning in the process how we can make it more efficient, operationalize it, and also to add additional elements of the facilitation to this project. In such a project that runs through the territory of the different countries, one window opportunity is crucially important, especially for the Chinese companies who would like to switch their cargo transport to the European market. One window opportunity, what does it mean? Simply, we would like to work together with our, and currently working, by the way, with Kazakhstan and Georgia, Azerbaijan, and we would like also to involve our Chinese friends as well, as a one consortium, so that when Chinese companies would like to transport something, they shouldn't go one by one. Just knocking one door, one company, and asking for them.
One-stop shop for...
Absolutely. Simplification and standardization of our customs regulations as well. There shouldn't be different customs checks and so on, different border checks and so on. There should be one simplified and competitive approach.
Is that happening?
Yeah, actually, it's happening more fastly than we expect, because business has its own rules. Time is money. And also, it's effective for the Chinese companies as well. And there is an indication so that if you go to the maritime BRI through the Suez Channel to the European market, depending on the weather conditions, the ocean, and some other different factors, it takes 40, 50 days. But here, it's 11 days. Again, time is money. But I think that we can achieve more with the further standardization of our capabilities. And we have also taken note recent Middle Corridor arrangement signed between China and Kazakhstan. And we are also thinking of signing such an arrangement between China and Azerbaijan. Maybe at one day we can sign China, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan trilateral, because Azerbaijan is also actively working with our Central Asian friends. Azerbaijan also having multiple geopolitical identities. One of our geopolitical identities, we are Central Asian. because with our Central Asian brothers, we are sharing a lot in terms of the culture, history, economy, and politics together. We are also part of the wider Central Asia region. And here, really, we are looking forward to development of the concept of China plus Central Asia, that is a concept, and also China plus Central Asia plus Azerbaijan. Just not just 1 + 5, 1 + 6. And it's just a matter of the mathematics, it's a matter of the chemistry. We are just working together as one team.
When you talk about global consensus and differentiated responsibilities, Global North and Global South don't necessarily share the same opinions all the time on all the issues. How do you plan to bridge the gaps? Because estimates show that if we continue the current path, we're not going to achieve the 1.5 degree target within the year 2040 or the year 2050.
Indeed, you're absolutely right that there are divergent views and with regard to certain issues, and it's not so easy. And COP discussions and also COP negotiations are considered diplomatically as one of the very difficult ones, and views are different. And here we should take into account, and we should also be guided by the inclusive approach and take into account everybody's views. And also developing countries, least developed countries, small island countries, they are extremely vulnerable because ocean level is raising and ocean temperature is raising, and we all agree to keep ourselves within the 1.5 degree temperature. Whether it's in a doable, and everybody's agreement, everybody's understanding is that if we'll combine our efforts together, we will achieve. But in the meantime, wider international community and everybody in the international community should live up to its own responsibilities and its own obligations, because we are all in the same boat. We have one planet. We are all living under one sky. And it's everybody's responsibilities. In a sense, Azerbaijan is also trying to change this paradigm a little bit, in the sense that when COP happens, and it's not only just COP hosting country or COP chairing country. Yes, you have particular responsibility. But in the meantime, beyond that, it's everybody's responsibility. If we'll succeed, it will succeed together. If they have any problems, it means that we'll all have any problems together. Based on that parameters, we would like to move forward, but we are very open for communication and consultation. I appreciate with a recent consultation between President Designate of Azerbaijan and our Chinese counterparts. And again, China is one of the leading countries globally, and China is also having its own very good experience within a COP negotiation process, and also China's technological advancement in green transition. It really caused a certain revolution in the green technology, and green technology prices is down, and it means that green energy competition is raising up. And in the experience, I can speak on behalf of my country, an application of the Chinese technologies and the solar and also wind renewable energy technologies proved itself extremely effective. And Chinese's own achievement, that if I'm not mistaken, 30% or beyond 30% of such a big country like China has been provided by the green energy. It's indeed very exciting and thrilling achievement.
Mm-hmm. We know that oil and gas industry has been a strong support to Azerbaijan's economy. It's something like 1/3 of its gross domestic product and contributing to some 90% of the total export earnings of your country. I may ask you to share with us some Azerbaijan experience in this green transition.
Azerbaijan is a fossil fuel country, and historically, and oil production, industrial oil production started in Azerbaijan. And Azerbaijan really being a fossil fuel country, but in the meantime has taken with, we can call it a little bit illustratively, diplomatic carriage and political carriage to host a COP29. But it's not only just hosting the COP29, it's conceptually our green agenda. And green growth and digital transformation is one of our priorities. We have actually started this process far before than our ambition of hosting COP28. Of course, COP28 will add additional incentives for our really intentions to pursue our green energy and green transformation agenda. And we have a natural resources with regard to, and we are blessed with the renewable potential as well. But having a potential is one thing, but transforming it to real actions and real results is something different. We have already started. I provided you with the examples of our cooperation with the Chinese counterparts and investors from our UAE and Saudi Arabia colleagues, and BP is also investing in Azerbaijan. And three particular regions has been designated as green energy zones, like in Karabakh, Eastern Zengezur, and also Nakhchivan regions of Azerbaijan. These are all demonstrations of Azerbaijan's stronger political willingness. And we are also affected by the climate change. And we see less waters in the Azerbaijan's rivers. Nevertheless, we are also mountainous countries. We also soil degradation, and we also temperature escalation in the weather conditions of Azerbaijan. We all see, and therefore, we already not just waiting for the final day, we already started the green transition transformation process. But really, we need a more cooperation, more collaboration. From that perspective, we highly appreciate openness of our Chinese friends and Chinese companies.
His Excellency, Mr. Hajiev, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
That's it for this edition of The Hub on CGTN. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Wang Guan in Beijing. Our news coverage continues on CGTN. Bye and take care.
From Liangjiahe, a village on the barren Loess Plateau in northwest China, to Zhongnanhai, the center of China's top leadership in Beijing. Xi Jinping has served in various posts at different levels of the government across China, starting in his early years as a junior village official to governing as China's top leader. What's he like as an individual and as a leader? How have his work experiences from earlier decades been influencing his leadership as the national leader? What are some of the core principles that have guided his decisions and actions?
I consider myself a relatively hard-working person. I know very well that people's biggest concerns are education, employment, income. We can't pursue development through destructive methods, depleting the legacies from our ancestors while exhausting the options for our future generations.
The Stories of Xi Jinping podcast series shares the life and work experiences of Xi Jinping and explores the formation of his governing principles, philosophy, beliefs, among others. Getting to know Xi's thoughts on national governance and how his leadership took shape may help you better understand China's path, governance, and principles. You can follow the Stories of Xi Jinping podcast series on all major podcast platforms.